was
Lincoln.
Okay, Lincoln. Was Lincoln an initiate?
I think
He was an initiate. Without him, we may be still trying to free the slaves in the South. Who knows how long it would have taken, but he initiated the freedom of the slaves, and he initiated the union of the states.
Even though it wasn't his idea. I mean, it was an idea that was out there, but he's the one that did the most for it.
He's the one that made it happen. Yeah. Right. So he's the true initiate.
Was Hitler an initiate?
Hitler, according to DK, was a second degree initiate. So he was.
Why isn't I brought that up? Is we always think again of someone who's wonderful.
But he was a second. Now the second degree initiate, he approaches the point before he becomes a third degree. He's given the choice between the dark path or the path of light, and Hitler unfortunately chose the dark path. So a second degree initiate who's chosen the dark path is very dangerous.
Do they have to go back to the first initiate again? Then do they have to start again at one?
Why? He's having a good time.
Well, that's another subject. Might deter us too long to answer that question. Okay. Now, who else is an initiate? Would Edison be? What did he initiate?
Light bulb,
right. And phonograph and all.
Tesla would argue.
All kinds of things. Right. Tesla was another initiate. Without him, we wouldn't have had the radio when we had it with the Tesla coil.
Henry Ford.
And he initiated the neon light bulbs.
Yeah,
Okay, that's a good one. Rosa Parks. She stood up for an idea, but she didn't.
Right.
Well, she did change the mindset of the world, though. She was the object.
I've heard stories about that there were other people behind her that planned on her doing that. So maybe the people behind her might have been the true initiates. Who knows? Rather than her.
The icon of it, the people who do the work behind the scenes would be the initiate?
Yeah, let's say if she did it all on her own, that would be an indication she's an initiate. Okay. But if there was people that planned that got a hold of Rosa and says, okay, Rosa, we have an idea that we think can change the world. If you're willing to participate and stand up on that bus and refuse to sit in the back. Now, the people that coaxed her on it, they might have been the true initiates, you know. If without them, she wouldn't have done anything, you know. On the other hand, if she would have done it on her own, well, that would be an indication. She was an initiate because, you know, quite a bit of change was initiated through that action. So there's some type of initiate involved that made that probably happen.
World changing? Does it have to be an initiation event that makes a difference in all of the nation or society? Does that have to be a big one?
Okay, we're going to talk about that as we go. So that'll be answered as we go along. Okay, so as we look in our history with the people that really changed the world, who can we look on what we might think would be perhaps the greatest initiate? It's maybe made the greatest change.
Jesus.
Who?
Jesus. That's a safe bet.
Right. Right. Jesus created a religion with billions of members and made tremendous change. So did Mohammed. But I think Jesus' teachings permeate more, especially his teachings about love your neighbor type thing and the sacrifice that he made. And I think that touches ordinary people's hearts. Even in Islam, he's revered as a messenger. Matter of fact, according to Muhammad, all the messengers of God are equal. And now, in Islam, Muhammad is way up there and the rest of them are way down here. But that's not what Muhammad said. He said all the messengers of God are, you know, pretty much on equal plane is what he said. But so anyway, the people that have changed the world, a lot of them did make quite a few mistakes because they're all human. And when a person has great power given to them, they also have great power to make great mistakes. Now, it's funny that people are very confident in their own power. You say, well, if I could make Lorraine here president of the United States, would she take it? She'd probably say yes. But She doesn't realize how much she might really screw up if she had the job. She might wind up the most hated person in history if she had the job. I'm not saying you would be. But people are very confident. They think, boy, if I had power, I'd do so much good. But you give a person a little bit of power, and like they say, great power corrupts. And many of the initiates who are highly evolved people who have had great power also made great mistakes. And they have to come back, reincarnate again, and pay for those mistakes. And that's why some of the greatest initiates have pretty tough life, a lot of them, because they've got some tough stuff in their background. But on the other hand, that's the way the world works. The great initiates make great mistakes. But the only one in history that seems to led a pretty pure life was Jesus himself. There's no record of any great mistakes that he made. And if he did make any, they've been erased. So only the good things have been presented. But so being an initiate doesn't mean you're just completely Mr. Nice Guy all the time. It means the person does what is necessary to get something done so humanity is able to move ahead. With initiation, there are quite a number of steps. As we progress from in the human kingdom, when we enter the human kingdom here upon the earth, we progress from a fairly savage state to a fairly enlightened state. And as we approach initiation, we become eventually an aspirant. When a person becomes an aspirant, it's when he begins to ask himself, why am I here? What am I doing? Is this all there is? That's what he begins to ask himself. Maybe I better look and see what life is all about. So he starts going to church, New Age meetings, gurus, reading books, and trying to figure everything out. And he hasn't had any spiritual contact, but he senses that something is out there. You know, hasn't had any major. He might have one something once in a while. The soul will give an aspirant a spiritual experience. So a spiritual experience alone isn't necessarily indicative of a place along the path. But the aspirant is a person that's looking. He's questioning. He starts to ask questions. Well, why am I here? Why is everything the way it is? Why is politics so screwed up? Why are Democrats Democrats and Republicans Republicans? What can we do to bring people together? He starts asking all kinds of questions, and at this point, he becomes an aspirant. And he's an aspirant for quite a number of lifetimes. He aspires. He's aspiring to something greater. And then he'll reach roadblocks where he gets really frustrated. And then he gets really frustrated, and then he concludes, well, you know, there is no God. You know, if there was a God, things will be a lot different. I've looked into everything. I've tried to figure everything out, and there's no answer. So God is dead, and I'm going to be atheist. So he turns into an atheist for maybe 3, 4, 5 lifetimes. And then after 3, 4, 5 lifetimes as an atheist, he still has a lot of questions. Well, you know, the logical mind doesn't answer all these questions. I've explored and I've asked these questions about how everything began, what was before the Big Bang, what caused the Big Bang. I just can't get answers. And so he thinks, he finally begins to ponder this one thing. Is there a way to get answers beyond just logical conclusions? Is there some source that is out there that is beyond the mind? There has to be, because I can't get an answer, and I should be able to get an answer. So an answer should be available. So he starts thinking about getting an answer beyond the mind. And then eventually he has a spiritual experience of some kind. He maybe goes to church and hears a preacher preaching, and He says, step forward and accept Jesus in your heart. And he is moved and he steps forward and he feels something. And he thinks he's now a born-again Christian and saved for eternity. You know, or maybe he has something else. Maybe he's just contemplating and some answer comes to him. He thought, where'd that answer come from? You know, it makes sense. But I didn't get it by adding 2 and 2 to equal 4. It just came to me. Where did that answer come from? So he has some experience of some kind. It may be experience that many farther along on the path will look on primitive, but to him, it's a big deal. He's either born again in some religion, has a religious experience. Maybe he just got a personal knowledge sent to his brain. Maybe he was meditating and thought he was one with the universe for a moment. But something happened that makes him have a breakthrough. And that breakthrough, he finally concludes, you know, there's something else besides just the material universe and the material me. I got that beyond the material universe. There's something beyond there. So I know, beyond any doubt, there's something beyond the material. And at this point, he begins what is called the first initiation. And the first initiation is where he receives the birth of the Christ in the heart. That's what it's called. The birth of the Christ in the heart. In the heart, he feels a sense of the love of God. And it may come from outward revelation, it may come through meditation, it may come through religious experience, but he gets something in his mind and in his heart, and in his heart is the birth of the Christ consciousness. And this is the beginning of the first initiation.